and welcome to our broadcast. We'll be concluding our series in 1 and 2 Timothy today. Stay tuned. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14, we read, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." Now, who's he writing to? He's writing to Timothy. He was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. He said, "I hope to come to thee shortly, but this can't wait." So he went on to say, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And so the purpose of 1 and 2 Timothy is that the pastor would know how he ought to behave himself. We got all of our instructions here. We just need to check and see if we're doing it right. In chapter 1, he starts off and he says in verse 3, "As I sought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." We have seen that doctrine is very important. In verse number 10, he talked about sound doctrine. In chapter 4, in verse number 6, he said that they needed to be nourished in good doctrine. In verse number 13, he said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine." He said in chapter 5, verse 17, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." He went on in chapter 6 to talk about God and his doctrine. In verse number 1, in verse number 3, he talked about the doctrine which is according to godliness. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10, Paul said, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." Then in verse number 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." And finally, he sums it all up and says in chapter 4, verse number 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." The most important thing about the local church is that we be prepared to preach the whole counsel of God and to preach all of the doctrine which we are commanded to preach. Very little of that going on in our churches today. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he has some specific instructions for men and women. And then in chapter 3, he deals with the leadership, that is the pastors and the deacons. When we get to chapter 4, he says to young Timothy, "Some shall depart from the faith." We have seen that he said in chapter 1 and verse number 3 that the pastor was to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He said in verse number 19, "Some have put away the faith and have made shipwreck." He said in chapter 4 and verse number 1, "Some shall depart from the faith." He said in chapter 5 and verse 15, "Some are already turned aside after Satan." Down in verse 24, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after." Then in verse 25, he said, "Likewise also the good works of some are manifested." Then down in verse number 10 of chapter 6, he says, "For the love of money," not money, "the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after have erred from the faith." Then in verse 21, again, he talks about some which have erred concerning the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 18, he talked about some who were involved in overthrowing the faith of some. And then he said in verse 20 that there's some vessels to honor and some vessels to dishonor. And so we've seen here that not a whole lot of people are making it some were vessels to honor. Thank God for them. In this day and age, and in this age of apostasy in which we live, we need to realize when God sums it up, S-O-M-E-S, sums it up, there's going to be one out of 12 that make it. That's what happened here in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we have some specific problems, also in chapter 6, that the pastor at Ephesus was to deal with, and the lesson for us here is the specific issues that come along today. As the problems come along, we better deal with them quickly, or they will deal with us. Then in 2 Timothy, we have seen the four basic chapters here. Chapter 1, Paul said that you need to think right. Then in chapter 2, he said, be right, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he said, know what is right, chapter 3, this know. And then in chapter 4, he said, do what is right. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And here it is, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, in 1 and 2 Timothy, in this series, we've been pretty direct, and that's why we call this program Plain and Simple. We don't want you to go away wondering what we said. Want to have some conclusions here of what we're saying and what we're not saying. What we are saying is that our modern-day fundamentalism has very little in common with what is taught in 1 and 2 Timothy. We make no apology for that statement. What we are saying is when the New Testament refers to heretics, it refers to Christians teaching false doctrine. Just check it out. You'll see that. So we think a heretic is someone who maybe is in a cult. No, he's talking about Christians within the local church who are preaching false doctrine. What we are saying is those who teach Calvinism are teaching what God calls heresy. Calvinism teaches that God brought some people into this world for no other reason than to send them to hell and watch them burn for eternity. That is a straight-out assassination of the character of God. It is not only heresy, it is wicked. We make no apology for that statement. Go to our website and download a free book on Calvinism. None dare call it heresy. The Bible is very plain. God did not bring anyone into this world so he could watch them burn in hell. That is heresy. What we are saying is that those who teach that repentance is not necessary for being saved, that is a damnable heresy. Now, you can believe in Calvinism and still get to heaven. You cannot believe this nonsense that Jack Hiles promoted, and they promoted it in the Sword of the Lord, still do, on the fact that you do not need to repent in order to be saved. You can believe Calvinism, that's heresy. You believe that you don't have to repent, that heresy will damn you to hell forever. And think, hey, we call all this fundamentalism. And we are saying the Bible commands Christians to separate from all Christians who teach heresy. We're not apologizing for that statement either. We are saying that mind-manipulated decisions concerning salvations are producing unsaved church members in what we call fundamental churches. We are saying a large crowd of immature Christians sitting in a church service is not a successful church in God's definition of success. We are saying that the Bible commands the pastor to clean up the problems in the local church that he pastors. We are saying that in these days of apostasy, if a pastor teaches and preaches the Word of God as he is commanded to preach and teach it, in most cases he will end up with a small number of faithful members. Not always. Sometimes God will, God gives the increase, the Bible says, and God gives the increase. Most of the time, not going to happen. We are saying when everyone forsook Christ and when everyone forsook Paul, the apostle, neither one of them were failures. We are saying that if Christ or Paul had compromised to keep people listening to them, they both would have been compromisers. We are saying that a pastor who compromises the scripture in any way to keep people coming to church is a compromiser. We are saying that all of 1 and 2 Timothy was written to the pastor, and the pastor would do well to preach it to himself before he preaches it to his people. We are saying that the pastor who expects his people to obey the Word of God while he refuses to preach the whole counsel of God is not obeying the Word of God, and he's a hypocrite. We are saying any pastor who allows vain babblers to continue to babble in his church will soon pay a serious price for it. We are saying that the reason apostasy has flooded into our fundamental churches in recent years is because pastors have allowed it to happen. Just read the seven letters to the seven pastors in the book of Revelation, and you'll see that is the case. We are saying that the reason we have Christians sitting in our churches with no concept of spiritual things is because pastors have failed in the area of preaching and teaching the Word of God. We are saying, and without apology, there never has been a time in the last 2,000 years when the following scripture is more applicable, and that is 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." The judgment that it's talking about there, it's talking about discernment. You need to be able to judge righteous judgment. We are living in an age in our fundamental independent Baptist churches when you could put the amount of discernment that is in the whole group in a thimble. There's very little discernment in our churches today, and the Bible is very plain that we can have discernment, just going to cost you something to get it. That's what we're saying. What we're not saying, we are not saying that every large fundamental church is compromising. There are some large fundamental churches where the Bible is faithfully preached without compromise, and God has blessed with numerical growth. However, in most cases, this is not going to happen in this age of apostasy. God has said it over and over again. His remnant is small, and His remnant is despised. What we are not saying is that we should slow down in our efforts to reach lost people. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Well, the world hasn't ended yet, so we've got to keep going. Let me read the verse again. "Go ye therefore." We got this idea that people are supposed to come to church and then we'll preach at them and they'll get saved. No, nobody's commanded to come to church to get saved. We are commanded to go in the highways and the byways. We are commanded to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is, after they're saved, they come into the church, they are baptized. What do we do then? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things. Oh, not just the smooth things. What about these verses that we have just read in 1 and 2 Timothy that talk about sound doctrine, and they will not endure sound doctrine. And if they don't, you reprove them and you rebuke them and you exhort. That word carries the connotation of warning with it. Exhort them with long suffering and with doctrine. So teaching them to observe all things, the whole counsel of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then he said, "I have commanded you." We got some idea that it's just sort of a suggestion. We'll just dump the doctrine and just preach the smooth things. Won't be in trouble with God on that one, preacher. Well, he said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And again, the world hasn't ended yet, so you better get out there, and you better start talking to people about how they need to be saved. Now, there's not too many people want to hear it. That's not our problem. Our command is that we go even unto the end of the world. What it means there is the Greek is the consummation of the age. Go. That's what it says. And so, we are not saying that we should just crawl in a corner somewhere and just, wait for the trumpet. We need not to slow down in our efforts to reach lost people. We need to get out there and do the job as we are commanded to do it. However, we need to let the Holy Spirit do His work in it and not be tricking anybody into praying a prayer whereby they haven't repented yet, because Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Well, there it is, plain and simple. That's 1 and 2 Timothy. Be sure and tune in again tomorrow. We'll start another series of broadcasts. Until then, may the Lord bless you.